Coming up on today's show,
athletics can be kind of a cesspool sometimes for the different vices that are of the world. I try to carry myself in contrast to all of that.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks, about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both land you on the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday when a new episode of this show comes out. Social media is Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community, that's the name of the Facebook group, its members are both listeners as well as some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I really enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Are you listening closely to what is being said? Coaches can be very crafty when they make comments about a player, specifically when everyone watching a game knows that a player committed a noticeable mistake. The media, of course, will try to put the head coach on the spot about it during the post-game press conference. I always admire when the response is supportive, one that instead focuses on how great that player has been over a long career and all the great things that they have done. In other words, it is not going to be productive for a head coach to publicly take down one of their own players, knowing that there is a relationship that needs to be nurtured. The athlete will recognize that and be lifted up, since the choice was not made to put the hot lamp on them. I think it is safe to assume that that is how we all would like to be addressed. In fact, as Christians, we are told in the New Testament how we should talk in our daily lives, with no separation of sports or our job or our faith life. In the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 instructs us to, quote, address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and playing to the Lord in your hearts. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest currently plays for the Chi City Orioles as part of the Chicago Premier Baseball League. He is also director of baseball operations for the Illinois Hawks, having previously served as their director of youth development and having coached at multiple age levels within the Hawks organization. A former middle infielder, he played 5 varsity seasons at the University of St. Francis, appearing in 193 games with an on-base percentage of .346 in his career with the Fighting Saints. Prior to that, he had been a student-athlete playing high school ball for Crossroads Christian Academy. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Noah Carrero.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. It's a pleasure.
You bet. You bet. Noah, I could take an educated guess, but share with us nonetheless where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Absolutely. So I was born in Naperville, Illinois, but grew up mostly in Oswego, and I am the oldest of 9 children, 7 boys and 2 girls.
Wow. Wow. Well, I did already know that, as that clearly states, you were a cradle Catholic. What did the faith life look like in the Carrero household when you were a young boy?
It was an ever-evolving experience. Both my parents had different faith backgrounds growing up. My dad was very much in the Catholic faith. My mom really was not. So that process was unfolding as I grew up. Holy Angels Catholic Parish in Aurora was a big formator for them. Monsignor Hines is a big role model for my parents. And as I grew older, our faith life continued to grow and strengthen, especially with prayer throughout the day. So those are some of the hallmarks of my childhood faith journey.
So what did that mean as far as you and eventually some or all of your siblings going to, I'm going to say weekly mass, but maybe that wasn't the case. And what did it also mean in terms of any Catholic education you might have received?
Absolutely. The mass was something earlier in my life that was more an obligation rather than something done out of love. As I grew older and my parents grew deeper into the faith, that is something that we have held very, very dear to us on a week-to-week basis, even, you know, amongst the busyness of life. Obviously, this is a sports podcast amongst the travel sports that people are involved in and are still involved in. And even now that I'm in my working career, trying to make an attempt to make daily mass as much as I can, it's been extremely important. So, yeah, those are big hallmarks for us for sure.
So what did Catholic education look like, if at all, being that it's something, the faith and the household that evolved over time?
Absolutely. The education of the faith and catechization process was evolving for us as well. I started at Holy Angels Catholic School in Aurora from kindergarten through third grade. Mm. And then my mom made the decision for us to switch to homeschooling fourth grade. And then I ended up working out for our family really, really well. We had the privilege of being able to do that. I know not every family has that choice to be able to homeschool just due to financial obligations, having both parents working, but it's something that we were blessed to be able to do. And that paid off more ways than one, both on the faith side and educationally.
It sounds like it has been baseball, baseball, baseball for you, Noah. Is that in fact the case? When did you first start playing? Who or what got you interested in that as your sport? And did you compete in any other sports when you were young?
Yeah, that's a great question. Baseball really captured my heart at a young age. I started playing organized baseball when I was 4 years old.
Wow.
But even looking back at baby pictures, it was something that my grandpa and my dad had a bat in my hands from a very young age. And while I did play other sports, I played a couple seasons of soccer. I played basketball up until I was a freshman in high school.
Hmm.
I was best at baseball, and it really stole my heart. So I ran with it and never looked back.
Okay, let's get this out of the way early on. So you're a Cubs fan or a White Sox fan?
I was born and raised a Cubs fan, for better or for worse.
I like how you say born and raised as though you didn't have a say in the matter.
Pretty much.
I mentioned in the intro that you played five varsity seasons at the University of St. Francis, which is in the Chicagoland Collegiate Athletic Conference. That's NAIA. And by the way, you say that you also had gotten an offer from Benedictine College. Is it just a coincidence that those are both Catholic schools? Walk us through that, including how much that was a part of your decision to attend and play baseball at the University of St. Francis.
Absolutely. It was a big goal of mine to achieve an athletic scholarship in college. I was very much an undersized player, so I didn't have as many options on the table as some of my peers. Being a Catholic, having a Catholic institution at the center of my education was important. And just those combination of factors, right? The smaller school size, just to make sure that it was a fit for me athletically, and then making sure that faith was somewhat of a presence, yeah, really led me to really considering those smaller Catholic universities.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think that kind of gives us a measuring stick of where the Catholic faith had progressed to by that point in your life, given what you told us earlier about how initially it wasn't as prevalent, but it grew over the years. And all of a sudden, here you were looking at colleges and saying, oh, great, University of St. Francis, it's a Catholic school.
Yes, it was very important from a community aspect for me. I wanted to be around peers that shared my values as much as possible. And getting in those environments, again, just based on the constraints that I had, I thought at the time was the best way for me to be able to do that.
Very nice. Very nice. Let's talk about the sports side of all that, though, because you say that yours is an underdog story. How come? Tell us that story.
Absolutely. I was always an undersized athlete. I was very late to hit puberty, really didn't hit my growth spurt until I was about 16. So it was just underdeveloped in my body. I left high school being 5'10 and 135 pounds.
Wow.
So it took a lot of work for me to bring my body and my skills up to the level that would compete at any college division, let alone the NAIA level. So when I got on campus at St. Francis, it was a culture shock for sure, because I didn't have the standard high school experience that a lot of my peers did. So there were skill items that I was behind on, terminology, baseball IQ concepts that I didn't know. So it was like drinking through a fire hose those first 2 years, just trying to catch up to everybody and then putting in all the work that I needed to achieve my goal, which was to be a starter.
And so you were recruited by them. Does that mean it was a scholarship? Did you walk on? I'm just trying to piece that all together in the context of the story you just told.
Absolutely. So I was very fortunate that one of my travel coaches had a really strong connection at St. Francis. He believed in me and where I was going and convinced the head coach that I would be an asset. I was always fast. That was the one thing I had going for me, was even though I was undersized, I was quick. And in the NAIA, you're able to courtesy run for the catcher. So that's not something in NCAA or professional baseball. That's a rule. So it provided me an opportunity as somebody with speed to be, for the coach to say, hey, we'll give you a little bit of a scholarship. You know, you'll be our courtesy runner, obviously train with the team, you know, hopefully make a bigger impact as the years go on. But that was really my entry door into the school, and I took it and ran with it.
Figuratively and literally. what a blessing. What a blessing. And the travel coach is the part that I focused on, because I would like you to make clear for the audience that when I introduced you, I said you had been a student athlete playing high school ball for Crossroads Christian Academy, but you weren't actually going there.
That's correct. The homeschool world is very unique in that way. The academic curriculum is completely separate in most cases from the athletic experience. Crossroads Christian Academy, had the fortunate opportunity I had to run into them. They were starting a homeschool team my sophomore year of high school. I knew a couple of buddies that were going to go play. I was like, yeah, instead of sitting around during the spring, we might as well play some games. And we played against smaller schools in the area. It wasn't anything, you know, too over the top compared to the travel competition that we would see over the summer, but it was good to get reps in and build some relationships.
Yeah. And audience, clearly you're hearing in Noah's story, not only why he feels that his is an underdog story, but if you really look closely through a Christian lens, you can see that the Lord's hand was in all of this, right? The K-3 Catholic school that he went through, playing for Crossroads Christian Academy, as he just described, and then this opportunity with his travel coach and St. Francis, and saying, well, we have this courtesy runner position that you can help us with. And then eventually he became, I want to say, Noah, you became a regular by your junior year, correct?
That's correct. It was certainly a journey. Many, many times I couldn't see the path forward, didn't know what the next step was going to hold, but it was just putting my head down, continuing to control what I could control, putting in the work day in and day out, and yeah, leaving the outcome up to God.
So friends, just to restate, K-3, he attended Catholic school, and then you hear him close out his educational career at the University of St. Francis. And I'm also going to be asking him what role it might have present day, his faith, as an active baseball player or administrator. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is proud to support Catholic Sports Radio, and they invite you to help them support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide 20 scholarships every year to families striving to ensure their children can attend a Catholic school. If you become a friend of the foundation, you will help them continue this good work, and you will have an opportunity to open an account with Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at AllianceCatholicFoundation.org. Federally insured by NCUA. Please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. 2 weeks ago on this show, triathlete Joni Briganti's name was added to the amazing long list of men and women that the Lord has continued to fill up the guest seat with week after week, month after month, year after year for more than 7 years now. I really just have to sit in awe of the way His hand is so clearly upon this ministry. I am blessed to also be able to report that Joni Briganti made a financial contribution to this ministry. When we recorded, as well as since our interview, she has expressed great support for Catholic Sports Radio and a desire to help. One of the ways that, like her, you too can assist is by showing your belief in what I'm doing through a gift in any amount. I am charged with reporting to you the various expenses associated with operating this ministry on and off the air so that you know how and where these offerings are being used. While we are still in the season of Lent, please prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your almsgiving. The simplest way to send in a gift is through the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, easy, and secure, and it will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. Alternatively, and this helps if you are someone that does not want to put credit card information online, you can get in touch with me through the website, social media, or writing to me through Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I will email you back with instructions for sending a check through the mail. Either way, whether you give online or send a check through the mail, as you are hearing me do this week with Joni Briganti, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode as a public thanks for your support of this ministry, or, as some have chosen to do, you can direct me to instead merely keep it anonymous. I'm grateful for your prayerful consideration as to this form of tithing as I continue working to bring all of us further in our walk with Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Noah, share with us about what being director of baseball operations for the Illinois Hawks entails.
Oh man, Bruce, that is a loaded question. If I had to distill it down to a statement, it's being the fix-it man for everything. But in all seriousness, I'm extremely blessed to be involved in baseball far beyond my playing career. Like I previously mentioned, Ben Hewitt, who is the president of the Illinois Hawks, I've had the pleasure of knowing him since high school. He's bestowed upon me a great level of responsibility, even when I was still playing, and now having siblings that are following in my footsteps, pursuing baseball. I've got one that's a high school freshman with tryouts this week, so please pray for him. And then an 11-year-old brother. I've become just by default more and more involved, and this year he made the choice to put me in charge of the whole baseball side of the program. That involves forming the teams, hiring the coaches, scheduling practices, finding outdoor fields, scheduling tournaments, coordinating uniforms, you name it, it falls on my desk.
Wow. Wow. I realize, obviously, that the Illinois Hawks are a secular organization. They are not affiliated with a church or even, say, CYO. However, given that you have coached at multiple age levels within the Hawks organization too, are there ever opportunities to be a big brother to some of the young athletes? And I don't mean your blood siblings. Maybe even pray with them, help them with non-baseball challenges they might be having?
Absolutely. Those opportunities are ever present. And the way I live my faith is not very loud. It's often by example. So people will see me praying before games or, you know, in the car before or after something's going on. And just the way that I carry myself and the language that I use. Athletics can be kind of a cesspool sometimes for the different vices that are of the world. I try to carry myself in contrast to all of that. And it's very evident to the people that come in and out of the facility, the kind of character that I try to carry myself with. And it rubs off on people, especially those that I directly coach. They know what kind of standards that I have. I don't let people swear in my practices. They'll be doing burpees if they do, among other standards that I hold. So I try to instill those virtues, even if, say, the faith is not the label that's being put on the different actions that we're doing.
This could actually be a teaching moment for anyone out there who is in a coaching position similar to yours. Is what you just described the answer to the question I'm about to ask, or is there anything specific that you do that sends a message to kids that, look, if you have something that is really weighing you down, non-baseball related, I am someone that you can feel comfortable coming to privately to open up to?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. At the end of the day, we're building relationships with people through the vehicle of sports. And I tell my players all the time that things that happen off the field will directly what happens on the field and vice versa. It's important that we really become attuned to how we handle failure, because especially in baseball, it's a sport of failure. And that's kind of mirrors what life is going to be in some regards as well. And in my own life, I've really reaped the fruits of that. I mean, I can go into you could ask me to go into a boardroom meeting right now with all the partners at the law firm I work for. And it doesn't compare to trying to hit a 95 mile an hour fastball in 40 degree weather in Illinois. It's just no comparison. So trying to tell my players and anybody that I come into contact with the stories and the benefits of building the mental side of the game and of the person is just as big as the physical.
Wow. Wow. So well said. And yes, audience, I knew this was the case, and I'm glad that Noah started to go there, because otherwise I think that y'all might have been surprised to learn that despite Noah's role as director of operations with the Illinois Hawks and currently playing for the Chi City Orioles, he actually has a regular day job working as a business analyst at a law firm. That type of demand on one's time makes it easy to push faith to the back burner or decide that it's just for Sunday when you go to Mass. So, Noah, have you in fact been faced with that challenge, or is it a case of, oh, Bruce, I got a good routine in place for my prayer life?
I'm so glad you brought that up. As when I first got out of baseball and into corporate America, yeah, I was lost. Obviously grieving to some degree the conclusion of my college baseball career, and then jumping straight into work and taking on all these other responsibilities. It was hard to find center for me again after having a routine for so long built around playing. But in the last year or so, after talking to some people and, you know, asking the right questions, it's become much easier, much more routine for me to prioritize the faith in my day-to-day life. Building a community around that was absolutely critical for me. I now attend a Bible study every Thursday night, regardless of what's going on. That precious block of time from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. on Thursdays, that is for Bible study. And I've grown so many fantastic relationships from being a part of that. And now in Lent, I've taken on the challenge of participating in the Bible in a Year podcast by Ascension every day, and then praying a daily rosary to help improve my daily walk in the faith.
Yeah, and there was something that you mentioned earlier in passing about daily Mass. So God bless you for all these initiatives that you're making. I do want to touch on something that you mentioned in there, though, that I really don't think we ever hear much about on the show, which is grieving the end of your athletic career. And I think that's so important, because someone is ripe in that time to really fall apart and as a result fall away from their faith. I wonder, Noah, if you can just kind of expand on that a little bit, because I don't think that the layperson, that Joe or Joan sports fan, thinks about the student athlete who finishes college and knows they're not going on anymore to continue competing.
Absolutely. I would be happy to elaborate. This is something that I talk about quite a bit, even with my current athletes that I coach. You know, kind of that old adage of beginning with the end in mind. That's what I try to do through the lessons that I teach them, is prepare them for whatever the next step in their life is going to be after baseball, because it will come to an end for all of us at one point or another. The most difficult challenge for me was, not only did baseball provide a sense of identity, but it provided a sense of daily purpose. When I got up, it was, okay, we have lifting at 5 a.m, you know, provided that structure of I'm going to lifting, I'm going to school. It dictated how I ate, you know, when I ate, how much I ate, you know, how much I slept, like everything about my day-to-day life. And when that's stripped away, it really prompts you to think of, okay, now what? You know, what do I turn to? Where do I really find my identity? how do I structure my life to move forward when that's all stripped away? And that can be a big challenge to tackle.
Yeah, because the temptation is to say, well, I can get up whenever I want. I can have donuts for breakfast and donuts for lunch and, to quote Jerry Seinfeld, bacon and cigarettes in between. So that discipline has to remain there. And it should probably start from your faith life, meaning that there should already be a framework in place where you say, well, I'm so devoted to this routine prayer-wise that now I can just kind of put that together with what I've been used to and start to transition into what I'm doing going forward. Now, in the lead up to today, Noah, you told me that you have designated 2026 as your year of intentionality. Explain that to us.
Absolutely. And I love this segue from, you know, losing yourself to then finding yourself. I've had the pleasure of coming across so many different opportunities in my life and being asked to do several things as evidenced by the responsibilities that I've undertaken. After coming out of college, you know, my default answer is just, we're just going to do everything. Like, no opportunity is a bad opportunity. Let's put myself out there and see what happens. I've reached the point at the end of 2025 where there were several times where I felt overwhelmed by all the different strings that were pulling me in different directions. And I really want to use this year to prioritize what's important, see my faith, my relationships, and the different, you know, practical responsibilities that I have, and making sure that I order my time and my energy to the right things first, and then leaving that extra time for discretionary activities.
Wow. Wow. Such as rooting on the Cubs. Let's have a little fun before we start to wind things down. What do you think about 2026?
I'm optimistic. Every year is a new year. You never know what's going to happen. I'm going to love watching Pete Crow Armstrong again in the outfield. I'm a big defensive nut, so watching him go out there and make impossible plays is fantastic. And Dansby Swanson as a shortstop, just the epitome of consistency. So I'll certainly enjoy seeing those two go out and play.
So you have optimism, it sounds like.
Yes. We won't get our hopes up too high, but every year's a new year. We'll see what happens.
That's right. Every team is 0-0 as of right now, so they're all on equal playing field.
Amen to that.
Let's close the same way that we did last week when my guest was another young guest who had been a student athlete, Melanie Meza, who played college basketball. Noah, given the journey that you have been on, both faith and sports-wise, what advice would you like to leave for any student athlete that's listening and or their family?
Well, that's fantastic. My short piece of advice would be to enjoy the journey. Remember that sports is meant to be fun. As long as you're having fun and enjoying the process and enjoying the journey and making sure that your faith remains at a center part of that journey, you're going to be in good shape and learn so many lessons. So from somebody that's walked those steps, enjoy it because it goes really, really fast.
Nicely said. Nicely said. And a wonderful conversation. Noah, thank you ever so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio today. God bless you.
You're most welcome, Bruce. It's an honor again to participate in your mission, and I greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And audience, as a nod to all the time that Noah has spent and continues to spend playing baseball, let's close this week with an athlete's prayer and do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help me to play the game, dear Lord, with all my might and main. Grant me the courage born of right, a heart to stand the strain. Send me a sense of humor, Lord, to laugh when victory is mine, to laugh if I should meet defeat without a fret or whine. Give me the grace to follow rules, to fess up when I'm wrong, when silence or some other thing wins plaudits from the throng. When foes are tough and fighting fierce and I am getting weak, dear God, don't ever let me show a broad, bright yellow streak. And teach me, Lord, life's game to play just one day at a time. With Thee as coach and trainer, Lord, real victory must be mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net. as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.